Well, it's an amazing story about JFK. Of course, on our next program, we'll be having different views and perspectives on our JFK assassination program. Linda's investigation brings another twist to this very strange story as well. 54 years ago, 54 years ago, our president was gunned down. We're going to come back with Linda in a moment with what we call conversations with Linda, questions about the stories you've heard or some of those stories she has done in the past. You're next with us on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us, George Norrie with you as well. Don't forget the breaking story, 11 people aboard a plane that crashed headed for the USS Ronald Reagan, our aircraft carrier, which was in the Philippine Sea near North Korea. It is part of a three-aircraft carrier group that has been in that region for, well, you guess is as good as mine. But they are searching for them right now. No names released, pending notification of next of kin. Linda, you were talking a little bit about the Barney and Betty Hill case, and the clock got us. I'll let you finish up on that, if you would.
Well, think of the timeline. That 61 was a critical year. And while they were trying to deal with attacks on Cuba, and we know that from 61 going back to at least the early 40s in Cape Girardeau, that our government had been struggling to try to understand what were these craft that were being seen in the skies. They were crashes for reasons that are still not exactly clear. Policies of complete lies and denial were agreed upon between the World War II allies of the UK, the US, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. But 61, when you think of MJ-1, let's say Dulles, who has been writing the MJ-1 Truman's Majestic 12 group, and their charter is, it's written in the documents that have leaked, that at all costs, that those words are used, at all costs, that everything about UFOs and ETs must be kept from the public and the media, and it goes into outlines about how this will be done and that they have emergency plans in case something leaks. Well, in 61, if Betty and Barney Hill in New Hampshire were the beginning of what began to unfold ultimately when we get to 1979. Bud Hopkins was working on and released his book, Missing Time, which went into many cases about people who were encountering lights or buzzing sounds in rooms, and then they were missing time at exactly that same period. I was director of special projects at the CBS station in Denver, and I started trying to get to the bottom of the bloodless, trackless animal mutilations. And what I was saying before the break is that sheriffs were at some point between around 73 to 76. I've talked with many people who said they were getting three or four calls a day. Large animals, warm to touch. That means that the sheriff is getting to the bodies within 2, 3, or 4 hours of the excisions, and they're looking at animals that have an ear, eye, tongue, jaw, genitals, and rectum cord out, and there's no blood, and there are no tracks around a lot of these animals. And the law enforcement, they're the ones in the beginning. They, among themselves, they were saying whatever's doing this has to be coming from the sky, because how do you have a 1,700-pound cow lying in face powder dust with these same patterns of excisions and no hoof tracks of the animal, no struggle tracks, no drag tracks? And that's why law enforcement were the very first to say, whatever is doing this is coming from the sky, getting these animals, taking them away, and then this was the other puzzle.
It's amazing stories.
If you have the ability to take an animal to harvest the material, perhaps for genetic reasons, then why bother returning the animal
exactly.
to the pasture?
Just keep it.
And the law enforcement, I've heard that question so many times. We are baffled about why are the animals returned? Well, my first reaction when Sheriff Tex Graves asked me that exact question was to flaunt. There is an intent of communication to the return of these bodies. And that's where you then get to these difficult questions of agendas and intent. In the evolution of the first alleged crashes in the Truman years, even going back to FDR in 1942 February, having to do with Santa Monica and San Bernardino, that were this was the photograph that made the LA Times with the searchlights going up to a, and showing a diamond object, and we unleashed a whole lot of artillery on this object. And the explanation, counter-intel, is really good at coming up with policies of denial and lies. And first it was, could this be the Japanese? And then that was dismissed, and it was sort of left as a skirmish with something that was not clear. Well, I think it was a diamond-shaped, unidentified aerial phenomena. We shot at it. It didn't have any impact on it.
It kind of pinged, didn't it, when they hit it?
I don't know about anybody hearing sound, because it was my understanding that it was up pretty high, but there may be reports. If there are, I would love to hear about it. But you've got the government on a military side that is getting reports that us in the civilian side, it's animal mutilations, it's human abductions, strange shadow people at night, small balls of light ranging from something like the size of a marble to a ping pong ball to a tennis ball up to the size of a grapefruit, and the biggest I know is a basketball, the type of lights that seemed to be, there was even a word that I was given back in the early 80s that the government used based on some Latin term, a diaspora, and that these are considered to be upload, download, very sophisticated information gatherers, and that's what these lights are. And the lights showed up in crop formations, and the lights have showed up in so many abductees' experiences, and these are the lights. I've talked with many people who said as children that they would wake up and they would see one of these small lights, usually white, but they can be green or yellow or red, or there's a variety of colors, even blue. And that one woman said, as a young child, or she thought she was around age six, that she watched this, it was red, and it was a red light that started in the corner of her room and came along the wall and came right above a, I guess it was like a small sculpture of Christ on the cross that was tacked up above her bed as a young child. And that she watched as the red light went up and around this Christ figure that was tacked onto her wall, and then continued going to the next corner. And then, just as people describe in large craft, it just took off and disappeared. Well, when you've heard in the 3 decades or 4 decades that I've been trying to get to the bottom of all this, and you interview hundreds and hundreds of people, and you begin to hear categories of the same patterns of descriptions, it makes sense to me that it is logical that we are dealing with technology. It's advanced. It's self-activating. It is designed to interact on this planet, in our atmosphere, with the surface life and the ocean life and the air life that is on this planet. And the same questions would have been on the minds of Truman and Eisenhower and Kennedy, and that it's very clear that Kennedy was exposed both for his father and through his Navy intelligence years to UFOs and ETs. There had to have been serious discussions, so that it wasn't like he came into the presidency without knowing that this was a huge, huge deal. And the fact that we are living on a planet that has had a diversion by the power brokers from the truth for so long.
From the get-go.
It's absolutely astounding to me. And that the number of people that I have looked in their eyes, who have worked in our military, who have worked in Intel, who have been in science and have had exposure to the ETs that come in many types, and to the craft, and the fact that we are dealing with technologies that we have been trying to duplicate, that involve traveling in time, that involve penetrating other dimensions. It all, in many ways, in the beginning, I can sort of have a compassion with where FDR and Truman would have been in their thinking. Truman was a more pragmatic guy, but that FDR clearly was dealing with George Marshall, the Secretary of War, questions about what they were going to do with alleged craft, and they called it celestial in those early memos going back to 42. The celestial craft, they had to be finding ways to transport them to places that could deal with them.
Sure.
Well, ARCO. I remember Corso told me that the big oil companies were who the government turned to in the beginning for transport. It makes a lot of sense. They transported the big 99-foot diameter silver disc in Aztec, New Mexico. They did it through a big, huge oil rig. And then what does counter-intel, the James Jesus Angleton people with their brilliant minds of playing chess with people in the world, and they don't, in many ways, I don't even know that they care what side they're on. They just like the game.
They love the game.
They love the game. And counter-intel is to block and interfere and tackle and keep the public and the media away from every possible truth. Well, in the process, things like oil rigs, what do we then read? Newspapers. You can go back to the 40s and you can see that somebody reported a UFO, but then what's the counter story? Oh, it was an oil rig that had a problem on a road and that they were having to send in, and pretty soon you begin to see the categories of cover stories. And the cover stories use what our government was using to retrieve the craft or the bodies or the live beings. And after a while, they've refined this to an art. Well, you, I, and a bunch of others have never bought it. It has never, never made any sense. What the truth in the 1500, 1600, 1700, I'm losing track of people that I've interviewed that have been in the abduction category, and they fall into various categories. None of these people know each other. And there are many details that when I hear certain sentences, certain descriptions, and I have this big vocabulary in my mind of what has happened to other people, there is no doubt that we are dealing with advanced intelligences that can base themselves on this planet underground, deep under oceans, not the way we think of life, but they have technology in which they can probably base themselves on any planet or moon that they want to in this solar system or any solar system, because they have self-activating technology that creates the environments, does the exploration, sends the information. The prime intelligences don't have to be here. And that whatever we are dealing with, when John F. Kennedy asked in the that inquiry to the director of Central Intelligence about the high alert, there's no question that we have had a wide range of interaction going back way before the 20th century. And you can go back to the 1500s, and there is that woodcut of what was described, and it looks like in a woodcut, of a war going on between different aerial craft that would have absolutely nothing to do with Homo sapiens sapiens.
That's right. It happened in India, and I don't know if it was our technology from way gone back or if it was an ET war over India, but they had nukes and everything else.
That's right. The Vishnu and the Anunnaki.
Vimanas.
All of it. And so finally, in this revolutionary time where it seems that we are breaking open horrible cemented lies and abuses, maybe that it's going to be that we're going to see sprouts finally of green coming out of the crumbling, decaying old lies, and that in these green sprouts, the truth is we are not alone in this universe and never have been, and our government has known this for since World War II, and that they, maybe it is, too, that they're sick and tired of having to keep concocting the lies and the policies of denial, and maybe they have stopped killing people to keep it quiet. I know that there was a period where they did. They killed a lot of people to keep this quiet, and that's another huge abuse. And maybe today, I can't see populations on Earth in the 21st century having any problem with being told all of the facts that I have lived with and evolved with over the last 40 years, and that if I'm here and I am, I think, absorbing and being able to report realistically and with facts, there's no reason why the entire planet cannot be told every truth, the bad, the good, and the in-between.
Yeah, and just admit that they lied to us.
And just, yeah, and say it made sense in the coming out of the war. But the problem, the abuse, began when they kept perpetuating, and what grew? The black dollars for the power brokers that were controlling and keeping the lies while they were trying to create a secret space program that would start trying to use the back engineered. You can see how this all unfolded, and pretty soon, that old line, power corrupts.
Absolute power.
All the money, all of the secrecy, it became its own self-serving mechanism. And it's bad. And I'm not in the business of attacking. I'm in the hope that we're going to stop it all.
And one day we will, Linda. We're going to come back and take the calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to the Conversations with Linda portion of the program. Let's go to the calls. Let's pick it up by going to Hal in Kentucky to get us started with Linda. Go ahead, Hal.
Yes, I was calling about, do you remember back in the late 90s, they had a show on Friday night, a series called The Majestic 12 or The Majestic?
Yes.
And that show, it had different episodes, including one with Kennedy, how they left that. You remember the little floor that the Roswell crash? It had that floor that would go back to being smooth again when they wrinkled it up.
That's right.
And they had that on there. And then not long after that, the show Kennedy got assassinated or was talking about it. And then, like, okay, he discovered something he wasn't supposed to discover, and they had to get rid of him. Also, they showed other episodes on there, like with Vietnam and a few other things, too. But this episode got better and better and better, and all of a sudden, it just came to a dead stop, and they quit showing it. And that made me wonder, did the government stop that because they felt that something was getting out there that they didn't want to get out there and what? Because they were really serious about this episodes.
Could have been ratings, most likely. Go ahead, Linda.
It is possible. There have been all kinds of things that have been interrupted, including my own HBO documentary that I was working on. And the later, after all of the problems, I was told the government did not want Linda Moulton Howe doing an hour special for Home Box Office on UFOs, the ET Factor. It was stated to me very straightforwardly. And so we're there have been all kinds of blocks on all kinds of things. Fiction has been used since the day the Earth stood still by the government to collaborate, whether Hollywood studios or producers always knew the truth. But there's been so much in Star Trek and all kinds of things that have gotten out certain kinds of truths. And right now, my mind is just jumping to the current state of high strangeness phenomena around us. I'm looking at a Facebook message from the Lochbuie Police Department, which is northeast of Denver. Last night at 9 o'clock, November 20th, quote, "Our officers were notified of a suspicious sound described as a loud boom that shook multiple houses coming from the northwest side of Lochbuie. At this time, the origin of the sound is unknown. Brighton Police Department also received similar reports as far as south of Bridge Street. Some of the descriptions: my whole house shook, floor and things rattled. I'm over by County Road 8. I was baffled by the noise." It talks about how police went to one of the neighborhoods that were calling about this huge explosion that was rocking the houses last night at 9 o'clock northeast of Denver. And the police get there, and there's nothing. They can't find anything. And it's over and over. And, George, you know I have been reporting about boom since 2011. To me, as an investigative reporter of science, environment, and real X-Files, there is a beginning to this. And it began in January of 2011. It has gone in cycles. And recently, it's increasing. And tonight, while we've been on the air, I have received a link to the Daily Mail. This was November 22nd, which is now after midnight. But this is from England. "What is causing the mysterious booms heard in 64 locations around the world?"
Yeah, I know. Crazy story.
Okay.
But crazy.
It's not crazy. This is what this is the something's building up. And it's been happening since 2011. And now it's 6 years later and 64 locations around the world in 2017. And the people that I interview, and I get maybe 100 reports every month, that people are struggling to understand what is causing a what seems to be a percussion impact on their house, that it shakes. The shaking and the cracking is not an illusion. It is happening. But what is causing the shaking? And if it's coming from above, it could be like a percussion wave. If it's coming from below, people in the same location in a neighborhood, some people have thought that it is coming from above. Others have thought it's coming from below, which means that something really odd is happening. And
well, that's what I meant by crazy. It's very strange.
And no USGS reporting of seismic events in any of these huge booms.
Could it be the planet shifting down?
Remember when I was doing reports about the booms, and then a whistleblower showed up and said that he was tied in with a military operation. Had a USGS background, and I reported this at Earth Files and on Coast. And for maybe 2 months, the idea was that I was getting information that this was related to the core of the Earth changing in an evolutionary period that is going to end up with the North and the South magnetic poles changing position. Now, that hasn't happened for, I think it's 860,000 years. None of us, nobody, there's nobody on the planet that knows precisely what happens in the 100 years leading up to the change. But there have been some computer models, and I have done a lot of reports about this with people, both scientists and the businessman who his whole life and world has been in oil, oil and gas, and they have to use all kinds of deep penetrating radar and all kinds of things to find oil and gas. Well, he has become convinced because of changes and things that they have been noticing in their own work that something is changing. Something must be happening in the core of our planet where there's this big iron crystal core. The center core is about 70% the size, the diameter of our moon. And this iron crystal core at the center of our planet is moving inside of liquid iron. They go opposite directions. That is what creates the dynamo that creates the magnetic fields. And the hypothesis of this oil and gas industrial guy is that if we are building up, finally, in this century perhaps, to the changing magnetic fields, it has to be starting at the core of the Earth first. And that if there is a change going on in, say, alignments, north-south alignments, it could possibly translate into infrasound that goes through the outer liquid and to the outer mantle, comes up out of the surface rind that we live on, goes up, hits the ionosphere, and bounces back. Now, that's a hypothesis. The booms are real. The cracks in sidewalks are real. The security lights that show blasts of light before the booms, this is real. This is a real happening on this planet. It's been happening for 6 years, and it is clearly increasing. What is causing the mysterious booms heard in 64 locations around the world this year? UK Daily Mail.
East of the Rockies, Brian's with us in Indianapolis. Hi, Brian.
Hey, George. Good morning. How are you?
Great. Hope you are, too.
Hey, listen, I'd like to wish you and your team and Linda a happy Thanksgiving before I get going here.
Thank you, Brian. You too.
Hey,
I can't wait to tell my wife I got to talk to the great Linda Moulton House. I'm gonna tie George Herbert Walker Bush all together with this assassination of President Kennedy.
Well,
Prescott, hang on, you can speak to it, and I'll be brief, and I'll take my answer off the air. Prescott Bush and Alan Dulles were on first name basis as friends. Now we all know that it's common knowledge that George Bush is one of the few people that doesn't know where he was when Kennedy was assassinated. So in 1976, Gerald Ford appointed Bush the CIA director. At the same time, these subcommittees were starting to form to investigate the CIA. Now Bush appointed Special Operations Director, a Theodore Shackley, who was with the J.M. Wave group in Miami that you were talking about earlier.
Right.
Now, can you speak more to that about George Herbert Walker Bush's involvement and what you have found? And, George, keep Indianapolis on your radar and bring your traveling show to town. We'd love to have you.
You got it. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Linda. Got a few minutes here.
Right now, I wish my dear friend, who I am convinced is in another dimension, Jim Mars, were here. Because what I know about Prescott Bush and to the Bushes comes from Jim Mars and all of the brilliant work he did in his book, Rule by Secrecy. And I'll summarize my understanding from the discussions with Jim that Prescott Bush was working two sides of the street, so to speak, during World War II. He was making money on deals with the Germans, and he was making money on deals with the British, and he was making money on deals with all sorts of different facets in World War II, where the only priority was making the money and having nothing to do with which side the United States might actually be allied with and who was the enemy. Well, now, going back, You've got Joseph Kennedy about that same time doing about the same thing. And Jim Mars told me that he had firsthand knowledge that at least Joseph Kennedy had learned directly about the extraterrestrial biological entities that our government had retrieved, at least one alive, and that this was a big deal, and that he had talked with his son, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who was in Navy intelligence during World War II, about this, and that Joseph Kennedy and probably Prescott Bush, that they both were talking to similar people who would have been colleagues to possibly George Marshall, the FDR Truman administration people, because these would be peers. And peers, no matter what policies of denial, the peers would have been talking to each other in different agencies. And that is the strongest connection that I know, is the research that Jim Mars did for Rule by Secrecy, that Prescott Bush was definitely, and that Joseph Kennedy, they were definitely aware that our government was keeping a big secret, that there were life forms from someplace else in the universe here, and that as time moved along, that meant then that George Walker Bush and then his son, W, that they both were exposed, that they knew about this, and that the best-kept secrets in those administrations had to do with alien technologies that we've been trying to back-engineer, and which alien types have which agendas on our planet.
Good point. Let's get to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Thomas, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. Magnificent research that you do, Linda.
Thank you.
My question, you mentioned the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Right.
Was there a faction in the government that worked with Hollywood to work, you know, to make the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951 version, reframe, to maybe psychologically condition the public concerning the alien presence? Or did Hollywood work alone on that?
Jim Mars, I, others that I have worked with on various projects over the last four decades, we go back to the first time, it had to be in the early 80s, that I was told that the script for The Day the Earth Stood Still was paid for and produced by the Central Intelligence Agency. It was definitely a CIA script. They had cutouts in Hollywood. A cutout is when the money for whatever the organization or agency is, let's say, CIA money.
30 seconds, Linda.
And the cutout is the interface to the public, and The Day the Earth Stood Still was one of our first government tests of public reaction to ET's coming and shutting down a power grid. And we are still here. I feel excitement and positive as we go into this Thanksgiving holiday. And everybody who is hearing booms, please get in touch with me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. And George, thank you for the time. And
thank
happy
you, Linda.
Thanksgiving.
You too, Linda. Have a great one. We'll talk to you a week or so before Christmas. I can't believe how fast this year is going. Linda Moulton Howe, website earthfiles.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasore, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.